Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure. We have had a full house here in the studio, and we're going to continue in that way as we've got the two social entrepreneurs beyond a new establishment for this past year in Tucson called Fed by Thread. So I'd like to welcome Aluk and Jade. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. My pleasure. Let me do a brief introduction. Aluk, and I know I'm not going to get your last name right, please.
Apaterai.
I'll remember. Aluk Apaterai. We call a social entrepreneur, a writer, vegetarian, environmentalist, former school teacher, fourth grade, I understand, a fledgling urban farmer, he admits, and a believer in empathy. After leaving teaching many years ago to be with his mother, who was suffering from cancer, Aluk focused on clean energy, specifically waste to energy, as well as exploring why cancer and disease rates were rising. Ever since, he's been an advocate for plant-based diets, animal welfare, environmental protection, and believes deeply that we have the power to create vast change in the world through collaboration, patience, and tenacity. Aluk's wife, Jade, she was raised by a pack of wild musical hippies in Mexico, and she's taught West African dance for a decade. She's also a professional photographer of women, particularly pre- and post-birth mothers, also a vegetarian, humanitarian, cares for animals, and stands up for what she believes in, and does indeed believe deeply in sowing self-love in those around her. She was a massage therapist for years, helping heal people's bodies, and recently became a mother herself to a beautiful boy, Sequoia. Jade is immensely passionate about life and walking the walk of a good, just, and peaceful life. So the two of you fit right in so nicely with Circles of Change, my other guests, and our mission. So thank you again for joining me.
What a fabulous show you run.
Well, thank you. Jade, I'm going to start with you because I'd like to know what it was like to be pregnant and give birth to both a new business and a beautiful boy.
I'm still recovering.
Well, guess what, my friend? With my son being in college, daughter in high school, you will always be recovering from something, so get used to it, right? Well, that's great. No, seriously, the idea of, you know, one of those, what, were you crazy things that come your way?
We were so inspired when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Lots of things were birthing for us. And we were very excited to be new parents, and we had a sort of already thriving studio downtown, and it seemed perfect. We had this son, I was pregnant, every morning we'd go for walks and talk about ideas and how we wanted to raise our son, so aware of compassion and caring for the environment, and then we just go on and on and on. We can create a million ideas in the course of an hour. And that was pretty much, seemed pretty easy. Why not? Why not start something right now when our lives are completely rearranging?
No, that's right. I always say that chaos is a terrible thing to waste. You know, as long as we got all the boxes tipped over, we can slide and sneak a whole lot of stuff under there. And most people won't even realize you did it. And then when things start to settle down, if ever it really does, they say, whoa, did you see what we just pulled off? And you're like, yeah, no sweat. And they're like, you know, I think she snuck something in here. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I probably did. But Aluk, from your perspective, you know, father as well as partner for the birth and advancement of your new business here.
Sure. It's been an absolutely wild ride. But, you know, in many ways, it was great timing. You know, we wanted to both bring this baby into the world, and at the same time, once we heard statistics from the food bank about the depth of the hunger challenge, you know, 50 million Americans food insecure, 16.7 million American kids food insecure, you know, there Jade was bulging pregnant, and we said we have to take on another project, and our family has to do something, you know, even if it's something small. And so we sort of just brainstormed, and the community had asked us to make a dance shirt for the studio, and so, you know, we're not apparel people. We said, well, okay, we'll make, you know, 30, 35 shirts. And, well, every time someone buys one of those shirts, we'll feed 12 meals to the community food banks, both locally and nationally. And that was really just a simple idea and was supposed to be the entire project.
It's fun.
It's total
and
fun.
So you started out with a request for t-shirts.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And now we have a full-up retail store that I had this vision then in the aft hours. We dial all the racks back, and now we continue with your photography work and yoga class, dance visitors and dance.
Yeah. Live drumming.
It's a really bohemian space that is, you know, we joke that we break all the rules. You know, it's an art gallery by day. It's a clothing boutique by day. And at night, it's a meditation and yoga and rocking dance studio, especially Jade's Friday night dance classes, which just they're like church around here for our community.
And so, Jade, describe the space for us. For those, of course, you know, we have listeners from all over the world, and also this podcast is being picked up from people after the fact. So perhaps just a brief recap on what's 4th Avenue and 3rd Avenue all about and where you are from the environment and how it is then visually, if we could take a quick tour with you.
Sure. Well, it's right off of 4th Avenue, which is the sort of bohemian part of Tucson, and it's used to be an old dry cleaners. It's a two-story building that's been redone. We have south-facing windows. You walk in and the light is streaming in. It's perfect. Warm. I do my photo shoots in there. And we laid the floor, Alok and I laid the floor board by board. It's a beautiful maple hardwood floor to dance on and do yoga on.
Which, if you're not from Tucson, usually we have to worry about shin splints and our shoes falling apart because we're always walking on tile and cement. So just the warmth of a wood floor.
And it's soft. It has a little bit of spring so that your knees don't hurt when you're jumping in my dance classes. And we painted the walls a nice neutral gray so that skin tones pop. Right now on the walls are 2x3 feet photographs of postpartum mothers and nursing their babies, and they're all black and white photographs. And then you kind of go over to the left, and that's our boutique. And you walk in this. We used to be, we used to store minks, believe it or not.
Or Tucson.
It's a vault.
It's a vault with a huge, thick, awesome antique door that they used to close and encase the minks in. And that's where the boutique is now. And in there, we redid the lighting so that's warm, soft lighting. And all of our apparel is hanging on the walls. We have it so proudly displayed, and all the info for each piece is displayed so you know what it is, if it's organic hemp or organic cotton or recycled plastic bottles, and a photograph of one of our community members wearing it. And yeah, it's quite lovely.
The products in the boutique, walk me rack to rack.
Sure. You know, we started with one t-shirt, and the community sort of loved the design, said, hey, keep going. And we were having a lot of fun with that. But then people that we respect really highly started asking us, hey, where's your manufacturing happening? You know, what fabrics are you using? Are you using traditional cotton? Are you using sustainable fabrics? And, you know, as I said, we weren't apparel people. We're not retail sales people.
So let me slow you down. What's the difference between regular cotton and sustainable cotton?
Sure. Yeah, regular cotton, which accounts for the vast, vast, vast majority of the apparel that most of us wear on a day-to-day basis, tends to represent about 25% of global pesticide use. Mm. And as we began, you know, looking into these things and asking the hard questions, you know, if we're really going to do this project, you know, it's great to feed hungry Americans 12 meals per item that we sell, but you know, if you're being part of destroying the U.S. economy and the U.S. workforce, and if you're being part of destroying the environment, we really realize, you know, the project really has no meaning. And so it was an 8-month journey to actually
just to even, you know, all those threads. You said, whoops, I can't use that. Right. Or that supplier isn't the right one. Or this color isn't the right way.
I got to tell you. And so the journey was to say, can we find U.S.-based tailoring, U.S.-based manufacturing that would also use sustainable fabrics, fabrics that were grown without pesticide. But even beyond that, and Jade was just mentioning some of the fabrics that we've been using. It became this amazing journey. Actually,
exciting.
Yeah, we really had no idea what are sustainable fabrics.
Wearing recycled plastic bottles, it's epic.
Right. I mean, this was a hoot. You know, we have a piece that's 45% recycled plastic bottles, 55% organic cotton. We have pieces that are coming that will be upcycled denims blended into organic cotton. Our most expensive fabric is a fabric that is repurposed wood pulps. That's the softest fabric we have. And that was the other piece was, you know, people tend to think of sustainable fabrics, you know, as burlap. burlappy, right? Yeah, you know, you put them on, you feel like you're putting on a burlap sack, right? So,
which you're okay with because you're thinking you're doing something ethically for the environment. So you're saying, well, it doesn't have to be nasty at the same time.
Great.
You can look great and feel great.
That's the other piece. I mean, people walk in, and this was the best part because, you know, the other piece was we don't do mass production. So it's all small batch, handmade. You know, we have to wait 2 months for pieces to arrive after we put in an order to our tailors, right? And so philosophically, the pieces all matched what we were interested in once we found these amazing tailors. But, you know, while we were waiting, we kept saying to ourselves, you know, I hope they actually feel good, you know? And now people walk into the store and they rub their fingers over the fabrics and say, wow, I never knew that hemp could be so soft.
That's great. We're speaking with Alok and Jade from the organization Fed by Threads here in Tucson. For those of you that are streaming, go take a look. It's www.fedbythreads.com. So any given day, you mentioned earlier that at some time you're going to have a dance class there. Another time you can see Jade in action. Your photography work. Jade, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started as a portrait photographer, but when I became pregnant, I've always been pretty obsessed with pregnant women, photographing them. And when I became pregnant, I really turned a corner and pretty much only wanted to photograph pregnant women, postpartum mothers, women in general, and collect their stories. And now I'm working on a book called A Beautiful Body, which is postpartum women, but also post-birth women, black and white photographs, semi-nude, and then each photograph will be accompanied by their essay on the relationship with their body after transformation during birth and post-birth.
Isn't that interesting?
And what that feels like, looks like, if that's empowering or not, and redefining beautiful. And it's exciting. All these women are very excited to shake off that definition of our culture's idea of beauty.
You bet, particularly the marketing and merchandising. Alok.
And I have to say, you know, as a man, I consider myself a pretty, you know, emotionally connected man. These images have just blown my mind. You know, we hear about, let's say, stretch marks and all these things, but really I had realized, you know, here I am in my mid-30s, and I had really never seen what the mother's body looks like after giving birth. Could look like, yeah, not all of them, obviously. Anyway, so it's been a real education, not just for women, but for men as
and
well,
and for the partners. Mm-hmm. And so that whole the two of you being in sync through all this obviously means even more for how then you're now raising your beautiful boy.
Yes, and how we want people to feel in our clothing. We want them to feel beautiful just as they are,
mm-hmm.
and feel good that they did something really cool for the environment, for their community, by purchasing.
That's right. Now, Alok, I know you had as your first year, I think, a goal of, you know, 10,000 meals.
Right.
And that was really
a shot in the dark. You know,
you kind of doubled that?
That was unbelievable. You know, we tally up at the end of every month. And again, we had sort of just set out and said, well, hey, you know, let's get crazy. Once we saw the project was sort of had some legs, we said, well, you know, 10,000 meals, wouldn't that be incredible? You know, to create 10,000 emergency meal boxes for hungry Americans across the country, you know, because people tend to think of hunger issues, in my father's country. My dad's from India. And so we think of, you know, these external countries abroad, maybe far away. And, mm-hmm. and really we had no idea.
It's here at home.
How deep, right in our backyard. And that's what struck us.
We live in our backyard. We live just a few blocks from the community food bank.
That's right.
And the food banks have been really dramatically hit over these last 4 years.
Well,
very.
That's been incredible. When we first actually approached the food bank and said, hey, you know, how can we help? And we realized that they didn't need food from us. They need financial commitments. And that's where the simple, very, very simple idea came from. And to realize that, wow, they can leverage the money that we commit per piece to generate emergency meal boxes, you know, beyond what we could bring to their door in food. And you know, there's no funny math there. It was really simple, and we realized, wow, we can have a huge impact. And at this point, we've crossed 21,180 meals as of December 31st, 2012, and that was for our first year of the project. And we just stopped, you know, amidst all the busyness and all the details and all the tweeting and Facebook and trying to get our message out there. We stopped at the end of the year, and we looked at each other, and we said, can you believe this? I mean, really. I mean, we had no idea. 20,000 meals is a lot of people at least getting a little something, especially through the holiday season.
Isn't that true? And I think, like many entrepreneurs or book writers or performing artists, or who knows, me, radio show host, you don't know really by flipping that one domino what is exactly going to ripple out and farther.
That's a great point.
Can I give you a follow-up on that?
Please.
For example, one of the ways in which, you know, we don't just have sustainable fabrics, okay? We've drilled down even further. We realized we couldn't stop there. You know, our shipping materials can't be Tyvek plastic, which is the industry norm. It's inexpensive, easy to get. Jade and I worked really hard to find shipping materials that were sustainable. We found biodegradable, compostable shipping materials. Well, anyway, a woman bought one of our baby onesies, shipped it to Portland to one of her friends. That woman runs a small business. The first woman writes us and says, you probably don't know this, but here's a ripple effect from your project. My friend who received your baby onesie, A, loves a baby onesie. It's all cute, whatever. But she's now shifted all of her shipping materials to be sustainable. And that company that makes those shipping materials, it's called Enclose. That's all they make is green shipping materials. It's not like a little niche part of their project. So when projects like ours commit to them and say, we're going to ship all of our stuff through your product,
it gives them vastly more expensive.
Even though it's 400%. That's right, Jade. It's 400% more expensive to have those mailers. So again, it ripples.
It's the right thing to do,
right,
is what you're saying. It's the right thing.
It's the only thing that we can do.
And it's not hard. As Jade says to me all the time, you know, our manufacturers are taking slightly lower margins. We're taking slightly lower margins. And people said to us, you'll never find a retailer who will carry your pieces if you're asking them to take slightly lower margins.
Again, it's redefining business. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
You know, and your model of redefining business, not unlike what my husband has done here in publishing books in Tucson, the whole idea, in fact, I want to talk to you about that.
That's great.
Who's going to be your publisher? That might be, Ted, are you listening? I just got you another project. that this idea of, you know, whether you call it buy it local, make it local, or build a social manufacturing network.
I love that.
And the word manufacturing takes a broader context than just
that.
Those at the sewing machine.
Absolutely.
Or the presses, whatever they might be. And so you can see that encouragement, the creativity, and the other thing about it is it's speed, folks. Sending things offshore doesn't allow you the flexibility to be nimble and quick.
That's right.
And by all means, since you two unknowingly have fallen into apparel world, you know there are no lead times. It's so fast to market from design to concept to shelf, or to sustainable packaging to ship. You know, that it's a whole different game.
Yes.
Now, the other thing that several people have said to my husband, including several of the artists that he backs up, is that, you know, you're exactly the right guy for this because you don't have a clue about this industry.
That's right. We're crazy enough to break all the rules.
Exactly. Well, you don't even know what they were.
That's right.
What? There was a rule about this? Oh, well, sorry about that. There's another one that we don't need to pay attention to.
Well, I lived in New York 10 years, and all of my friends in fashion, you know, said to me, hey, if you're doing handmade, small batch, low impact dyes, sustainable fabrics, U.S. labor, and you're feeding 12 meals to the food banks, you could get away with marking up all your pieces much higher, you know? And my response is, you know, the point isn't to sell clothing.
Yeah.
The point is to shake it up and have the average American be able to walk through the door, find a piece for them that's priced for them, and to walk out, even if they don't buy a piece, having a different idea about A, the power of voting with your dollars, B, that you can afford made in America again, and C, you can take care of people in this country. And so, you know, that's why we do this. It just happens to be clothing on the walls. But it's our way of life. It's how Jade and I have sort of moved through this world that just happened to lead to clothing. But it's really about talking to people about what matters to them.
Well, and it's given you the ultimate microphone as a metaphor,
right,
to be able to speak to that and to model it. And it's interesting, of course. And you're not faulting your friends back in Manhattan for being with them.
No, they were right.
I mean, that's the world they've grown up in and been successful and have had to operate with that kind of headset.
That's right.
But, you know, by the way, you can't turn a book for the Tucson Festival of Books in 90 days if you don't think beyond what would have otherwise been the structure.
That's right.
Husband's message.
That's absolutely right.
So the other exciting thing for the two of you, though, is if you think you've done a lot with 20,000 meals in year one and apparel, who knows what's going to start coming out of that studio of yours down in the area. Yeah, it's the wonder of what's going to come next. Mm-hmm.
And it's really because of our community that we are successful. It is only because of our community that we have been so successful this year, because we have the studio with all these people supporting us through rent. So we're all contributing to rent so that we can have our boutique in there, so that I can do photography, so that we can do all these things. But only because of this large community that we have formed can we do all these things and take a quote-unquote profit loss or whatever from not doing business quote-unquote typically.
How long have the two of you been here in Tucson?
I was actually born. I was born here. Moved here because of me.
She set the hook and reeled you in.
That's it. I sold everything, and this little boy from Brooklyn just came out to that desert Southwest.
My dad has always lived here. I grew up in Mexico primarily, but I always spent the summers, the lovely summers in Tucson.
That's right. But, you know, there is that energy and that beat around that sense of community. We've had a wonderful string of people. Of course, Jamie Williams, who recommended that I get in touch with
you.
She's
a gem.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jamie. You're the best.
Yeah, another photographer and one who travels the world during the work that she does. But she's found her space and her microphone for doing the kind of work that she does and the connections that we all are committed to offering one another.
Well, what I love about what Jamie did was, you know, she herself received some help when she was blossoming as a photographer, and she never forget that. You know, she never forgot that. And then when she had the opportunity to pass it forward, pay it forward, however you want to describe it, it comes back to you in so many ways. And we are blessed every day with people who offer elements of their time, their support. You know, I have friends that don't have a lot of money who say, you know, I'd love to, you know, I wish I could be more involved in Fed by Threads or the Movement Shala or Jade Beal Photography, you know, but I don't have the financial resource. And I say to them, you know, there are so many ways you can help us that don't cost a penny. You can post on Facebook, you can post on Twitter, you can tell a friend, you can, you know, send a postcard to someone and say, hey, there's this great project on 9th Street, come check us out.
Well, and the fact that you call it a project, not a studio or a store. I mean, it's a project. So in other words, it's this living organism that's, you know, not unlike the two of your lives and your son now, and the sense of community, and that who knows what other ideas are going to start rippling towards you. Jay, do tell us about the designs, the type of clothing that's available for our shoppers who are listening.
That's a great question. Most of them are pretty loose fitting. A lot of them are off the shoulder, kind of dancey, yoga-y sort of, I don't know if that's a real word, but
we just made it up.
There's
made
no rule.
It up.
Okay.
All of the fabrics feel soft and delightful to slip onto your body. The organic cotton it almost feels like your second skin. Mm-hmm. And the spring line that we have coming, really cute designs. We're shifting into a little more tailored sort of cute shorts and overalls and beautiful flowing skirts and leggings too.
And who are your designers then?
We co-design with a manufacturer in LA.
Okay. That's great. And obviously the co-design element is because you're designing it with the mindfulness of the mission of your project as well as the fabrics themselves, right?
And also, you know, there are people who are far better. You know, people ask us, do you make the clothes yourself? And I say, I'm not so good on a sewing machine. You know, that there are people that, you know, are far, far more trained, and they're designers, you know, who they're able to take our ideas and put them into reality.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so 20,000 meals kind of manifested this past year. So have you set a target, a goal, or what's going to happen this year?
We've set
a broader... Because you have an odometer, like, on your site, which is wonderful to watch, right?
We have a broader goal of 100,000 meals over our first 3 years.
3 years, yeah. Yeah, that's great. And what else is out there for Fed by Threads?
Well, this spring, one of the other areas we're moving into is babies, toddlers, small infants, youth. You know, our goal is for the you know, average American family to walk in and begin to shift piece by piece. You know, people say to us, are you Mr. and Mrs. Organic? And we say, no, we're Mr. and Mrs. trying to unlearn 3.5 decades of learned behavior piece by piece, just like anybody else. Cut us some slack. We're not perfect.
I love that. But that's part of the mission, is to unlearn things.
That's right.
Really true.
It's baby steps of change.
And redefining.
Yeah, that's right. For you personally, Mom, mm-hmm. The idea, okay, year one, now your toddler's going into the wonderful twos. Mm-hmm. I always call that for my kids. Where do you feel you personally are changing now in this process? You're up next, Alex.
I finally feel like I'm coming back into my body.
Yeah.
And I can be with my son, and I'm watching him grow into this little human, and it gives me the chills every day. It makes me want to cry right now. And it's making me such a better human being. And I can't wait to see what happens this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Every day he shifts me into a better human being.
That's right. And again, the alignment of that, as we started with that question of, you know, you did both of these at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You probably couldn't disconnect or would not have been, quote, successful, however you measure success.
That's right.
By doing them independently or in series.
Right. I completely agree.
Alec, for you.
Being a father has completely changed my life, and you know, it's the constant balance of, you know, career, and this is my life work that's coming together, and at the same time my life's work also now is being a father, and we're, you know, we're doing our best just to figure out what is that balance. You know, I want my boy to have a good life and you know, to be able to eat the healthiest food that we can possibly feed him, and at the same time I want to be there every day as much as I can, and I'm learning as I go. And
I think the other thing you'll learn too, not that I'm that much more of an experienced parent than you are, but our kids are now 18 and 15, is you're going to equip them with everything you possibly can, but still at the end of the, somewhere in that process, you know your role is to not control.
That's right.
But give them the chance to make choices. But the fact that, and you know that from your own lives, right?
And be inspired by it.
And be inspired by it. I mean, in fact, the mantra you have there on your site for Fed by Threads is, be the change, your choices matter.
That's right.
So it's not make the change, it's this idea of being it.
Mm-hmm. Which comes from Gandhi. Gandhi really coined sort of that idea of, you know, just live it, walk it, be it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, terrific. For our listeners, please go visit the address again for the
435 East 9th Street. It's at the corner of 3rd Avenue and 9th Street, one block east of 4th Avenue, right before the underpass. There's big 20-foot glass windows.
And lots of parking.
Lots of parking
is available.
Circle driveway and an overhang, yep.
Exactly. And again, on the web, it's fedbythreads, threads.com. Alec Apapardori and Jade Beal, thank you so very much for joining us here on Circles of Gene.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Larson, it's been a pleasure.
You bet. We're going to watch and keep track of your progress. I'll see where that odometer turns, and maybe we'll start next year, 2014, with your segment as well.
We'd be honored.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.